Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Psalm 18, and it's found on page 550 in our church Bibles. We're starting to read from verse 1 and reading to verse 6. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him, before his ears. And we'll continue at verse 16 to 19. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And we'll continue with verse 25 to 29. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the devious you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a trip. With my God, I can scale a wall. And we will finish our reading at verse 46 to 50. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies, who exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. May God bless this reading.
Thank you, Rosemary, for reading that so well. Thank you for having me with you this morning in Ballyhenry. It truly is a blessing to be here, and I've received such a warm welcome already from those I've met. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lisa Skinner, and I spent most of last year as Acting General Secretary for Presbyterian Women, and I certainly experienced how God is able throughout last year and in that role. And I found myself being exposed to Presbyterian Women really for the first time. So I learned a lot over the last year, and I can tell you I was greatly humbled and challenged by the example and the influence of many Presbyterian women throughout Ireland. So it was a real joy for me and quite an experience. I am normally found worshipping in Kirkpatrick Memorial Presbyterian Church on a Sunday morning. In fact, I thought I might get my passport stamped on the way over today because I am not normally found too far outside of East Belfast, where Kirkpatrick is. My husband says I get a nosebleed if I go outside of East Belfast, so it's good to be broadening my horizons in Ballyhenry with you this morning. As I mentioned earlier, and as Amy has referred to as well, the theme for PW over the last year has been God is able, and it has been a truly wonderful theme to explore over the course of the last year, and we're going to be exploring it a bit further this morning, and not only how God is able, but as I said to the children, how we as God's people are enabled to do miraculous things in his strength through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. As you may have guessed from our readings, we're going to be in Psalm 18 this morning, so can I encourage you to keep that psalm open? I'm sorry that we jumped around a bit in that psalm. It's a magnificent psalm, but it is a long one, and time didn't permit for us to read the whole psalm right the way through this morning. So we just highlighted a few of the key verses that we're going to be focusing in on this morning. Before we dive into Psalm 18, I just want to relive some of my maybe misspent youth with you. While I was at university in Newcastle upon Tyne in England, I was part of the RAF Northumbrian University's Air Squadron. Now, being part of the Air Squadron opened up lots of opportunities to me and some rather different activities as well. I can remember the one and only time that I was involved in a women's rugby match. That was one of the different activities that didn't end quite so well for me, because I learnt quite quickly and rather painfully that day that women's rugby is definitely not my sport. It's not for me. But on the whole, the forces have very strong sports programmes, and so the Air Squadron was no exception. One of the activities that they offered, but sadly the one that I never got to try to date anyway, was that of the obstacle courses that they often utilised for training purposes. Now, whilst these obstacle courses were physically exhilarating, this was an extremely challenging activity. Many of my peers would have taken on these obstacle courses, and they would describe how physically and how mentally draining they could be. For most of them, the biggest obstacle on the whole course was that of storming the wall. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but storming the wall usually involves a 10-foot high wall that you have to get over before you complete that course. So after all the running and the crawling and the climbing and so on, and by now absolutely exhausted, you have to try and get yourself over this 10-foot wall. This was the make or break of the whole course. It didn't really matter how fast you were at the rest of it. If you had difficulty, or if you couldn't get yourself over the wall, your time, and possibly the time of your whole team, was affected. And you could have faced the shame of maybe not being able to complete the course, not to mention the abuse you knew you were going to take from your peers afterwards. As I was preparing for this morning, I had the congregation here in mind, and I was trying to put myself in your shoes. I was trying to imagine what congregational life might look like here in Ballyhenry in April 2014. If you're like many other congregations within the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, then maybe you're worrying about the missing generations in your church. Maybe it's the teens or those in the 20 to 40 category. And this often leaves us wondering, who's going to carry on the work and the service that we've been doing here for so many years? Sometimes we question whether in time our membership might dwindle. And again, like many other congregations, maybe you find it hard to make inroads into the local community in order to bring them into your church, but more importantly, to lead them to a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we can't see the way forward, we can feel in our lives and in our congregational lives like we're faced with a huge wall. One that we can't see our way over, one that we can't see our way round. Of course, the effects of falling numbers or struggles in making connections may not be the only problems or difficulties that we might be facing here this morning. If we're really honest, then it's likely that we're here with some real struggles in our own personal lives. Maybe it's struggles at work, or worries about whether we'll have work in the future. Maybe it's debts that are mounting, or financial pressures. Could it be pressures on our marriages or other relationships that we hold dear? Worries about our children, our grandchildren. What's the future going to hold for them? Possibly it's the pain caused by a lack of children, a lack of having your own. Could it be concerns over your health or the health of someone who's very close to you? Or maybe it's the anxiety, the grief, and the sadness that comes with having lost someone dear to us. Often, quite naively, we expect that a life lived for God will be a safe one. And when I say that, I mean one where we're protected from the storms of life that others have to face. And yet, isn't it true that Jesus himself warned his disciples on a number of occasions of the costs of serving him? Jesus spoke of denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily. He warned us of the tribulation that there would be and the same persecution we would face that he himself faced and endured. But you know, while we may not be spared the harsh realities of life, a life lived for God does mean that he strengthens us for and in those times. I want to bring you a word of encouragement for the weeks and the months that lie ahead. For as we look at this psalm together, we're going to see that it's relevant for us all. It's relevant for us both as individuals and for us as a congregation of God's people. Because Psalm 18 shows us how to live and how to pray when we're up against it, when we're facing a wall. Psalm 18 was written by a man who spent much of his life up against it. Let's have a quick look at the psalm together. So turn with me to the passage if you have your Bible open. And in the Bible I'm using, there's a heading that tells me that this is a psalm written by David when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now, David, it's true to say, faced his fair share of difficulties or walls in life, and sometimes we can skim over that. But if you look at the story of David's life, you'll find that he was the youngest son in a very big family. So with so many older brothers, it was common for young David to be overlooked. So that made for a tricky enough start for David. You'll remember as a young boy, he looked after his dad's sheep. Now, maybe that sounds like a lovely, tranquil way of life to be out on the hills by yourself, guarding the sheep. But in reality, it really wasn't. It was a job that should have come with danger money. Because David had to fight off bears and lions with little more than his bare hands. And yet, this was such vital training for what lay ahead of David. Because we all know the story of David and Goliath, and how the young boy went on to face the Philistine giant. That giant Goliath terrified the whole army of Israel, but he didn't terrify David, because David knew that the same God who protected him from bears and from lions was going to protect him in the face of this terrifying enemy. Goliath wasn't the last wall or obstacle that David faced in his life. When he defeated the giant and the whole country got into David mania, as it were, King Saul became incredibly jealous of David. And he was so jealous that he tried to kill David on a number of occasions. Let's not forget also that David lost a baby. And not only did he lose his child, but he bore the guilt around the death of his son due to his actions with Bathsheba. David encountered different struggles with his children. He was rejected and he was hated by one of his sons, Absalom. Absalom turned against him and he wanted to kill his own father. So David had many trials and many hardships throughout his life. And we're no different. They may not look the same as David's hardships and his trials, But we face struggles and we face walls in our own lives, don't we? But how did David cope with all of that? How did he deal with the walls that cropped up in his path time and time again? Psalm 18 tells us. I want you to look with me at verse 29 in the psalm. And verse 29 says this: "With your help, I can advance against a trip. With my God, I can scale a wall." I really love the energy in David's words here. It's a really exciting way of talking about God. Because normally when we're talking about God, we tend to use nice gentle verbs. We say God loves us, he cares for us, he comforts us. And while all of this is of course true, in Psalm 18, David is using big action verbs to talk about what God is doing. In the Message translation of the Bible, the verse reads, "I smash the band of marauders. I vault the highest fences." David seems to be saying that with God's help, he will storm the wall, whatever that wall will be. I'm not going to pretend that I am an expert on long-distance running. I'm really not. The height of my marathon running was participating in the fun run at age 13, all 4 miles of it, and that's where it ended, sadly. But it does seem to be quite in fashion today to be out running or to be cycling, especially with the Giro d'Italia coming. Now, as I say, I'm not a runner or a cyclist, and if truth be known, I'm much more of a spectator than a participant, to my shame. But I do like to watch the highlights from the London and the Belfast marathons and even the Great North Run from time to time. And when I listen to the participants being interviewed at the end of the marathon, it's quite common to hear them talk about hitting the wall. Because even the most fit runners, the fittest of runners, will tell you that they hit the wall maybe at about the 20-mile stage of the marathon. So up until that point, things have been going swimmingly. They've been doing pretty well. All their long-distance training has been paying off. And then all of a sudden, in and around 20 miles, their lungs start to burn. Every single breath feels like someone's rubbing sandpaper up and down their windpipe. And the legs that have carried them so far start to feel like lead. You know, sooner or later in life, we all hit the wall, don't we? Because even those who find that life is mainly plain sailing will find themselves up against it sooner or later. So how can we be ready for it? Look again with me at verse 29. Because for David, it's all about God. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. David's whole life is God-focused. With God's help, he can do anything. Because God is able, it follows that David, in God's strength, is also able to overcome the obstacles of his life. David's expression of his confidence in God isn't limited to verse 29 of his psalm. It runs throughout the whole psalm. I want you to look at the images he uses in verse 2 that express his trust in God. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." In one short verse, David manages to squeeze in 6 different lines that describe the extent of God's protection over him. David isn't the only person we read of in the Bible who has this confidence that with God at their side, they can scale any wall. In Philippians 4, Paul says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Time and time again throughout his life, Paul proved the truth of his reliance on God. When David is speaking like this, he reminds me of another man who made big claims for what God was able to do. Jesus. One day a man brought his son to Jesus, and his son had an evil spirit. And try though they might, Jesus' disciples hadn't been able to exorcise the demon. So in desperation, the man came to Jesus and he said this, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus replied, saying, "Everything is possible for those who believe." Everything is possible for those who believe. Even more so than David, Jesus refused to allow anyone to hold him back. He jumped over the walls of sickness as he healed people. He scaled the walls of human rebellion as he forgave people their sins. Even death itself could not stop him from achieving what his Father had for him to do. As I was thinking about this service and I was thinking about the Presbyterian women, not only in this church but throughout Ireland, I started to think about women who scale walls for God. And my mind was directed towards the 28 women that form the diaconate of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. We in Presbyterian Women are really blessed to be part of equipping and supporting those women in their work and ministry, and God is certainly able to use them powerfully in his service. In their daily activities, that which might seem like normal, everyday activities to us, God is working the miraculous through them. For when I think of women scaling walls, I think of Eileen Black. Eileen's our deaconess in First Maharafelt Presbyterian Church. And Eileen is a woman in her late 50s. She became a deaconess later on in life after her husband had passed away and her children had grown. And this is a woman who is passionate about evangelism, not least street evangelism. Here is a woman who can be found in the centre of Maharafelt every Saturday night until 2, possibly 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And there she ministers to young people falling out of bars and clubs. She serves them tea and coffee. She listens to their struggles. And she talks to them about Christ. When I think of women scaling walls, I think of Sharon Heron. Sharon is a deaconess in Strand Presbyterian Church in East Belfast. And through Sharon, God has cultivated a strong ministry amongst the migrant community in the Sydenham area. From Sharon's initial contact and the love shown to a Polish mother who came into their mums and tots, ministry to immigrants has snowballed, and they now run an English class on a Saturday morning for Polish, Thai, and Filipino families. And they've taken their pupils away for the weekend to Glasgow. And not only that, but they started a fortnightly service for the migrant community called Meet with God to try and bridge the gap between that Saturday morning English lesson and Sunday worship. And they provide much in the way of practical help for those families. Through Sharon's faithful service and that of others in Strand Presbyterian Church, God is reaping a harvest within the migrant community there. When I think of women scaling walls, I think of Muriel Crummie, who no doubt many of you will know or have heard of. For many years, Muriel has spent her days ministering in the city hospital. And much of that time has been spent in the cancer centre, where she so often ministers in what we call the liminal space, the threshold between life and death. That thin place where boundaries dissolve a little, a moving from what is to what will be. And there Muriel has spent much of her time and energy in those liminal spaces, sharing in the watching and the waiting with those who are dying and those they are leaving behind. When I think of women scaling walls, I think of Linda Gibson. Linda's one of our deaconesses who retired just last year. And Linda ministered as a deaconess in many different contexts over 30 years of service, not least during her time in McGabbery Prison, where she spent time listening to, praying with, and reading the Bible to the outcasts of our society, those who had committed what we would deem to be the most heinous of crimes. Yet Linda sat with them. She showed them God's love, and she spoke to them of his forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You know, I could talk to you about all 28 of our deaconesses this morning, and I could tell you how each and every one of them are scaling walls in God's strength. And no doubt some of you may have your own stories to share about some of them and how they are able because God is able. But sadly, time doesn't permit for me to detail what God is doing through each and every one of them. I want to close with a question this morning. And it's a rather odd question, but I want to ask you this. How would you like to be remembered? When people who survive you gather together to think of an epitaph for your headstone, what do you think they'll write? In the biblical record, this psalm acts as David's epitaph because we find David's story in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And it's a wonderful, very dramatic story. And when we reach the end of David's story, guess how the author chooses to end it? What can he write that would capture something of this great man's life? What would be a fitting epitaph? I'd like you to turn with me to the end of the story in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. If you look carefully, you'll see that this chapter is a straight lift from the psalm we've been looking at this morning. And we're going to focus in on 2 Samuel 22, verse 30. And it says this: "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." It corresponds exactly with the verse we've been focusing on this morning, doesn't it? God inspired the author to close this great story of David by quoting Psalm 18 in full. This psalm, which we've been looking at together this morning, it's as though the writer wanted it to be David's epitaph. Of all the great psalms of David, of which there are many, of all, this is the one that he chose to remember David by. Friends, wouldn't it be brilliant if that's how people remembered us? Wouldn't it be great if people remembered us as somebody who stormed walls in God's strength? Wouldn't it be great if, like the Apostle Paul, we had such confidence in God that we were able to say, "I can do anything through him who gives me strength." As you go into the future, you will undoubtedly face difficulties in congregational life. Our own personal lives will inevitably throw up obstacles and hurdles. But isn't it great to remember the words of our Saviour who said, "Everything is possible for those who believe"? Why ever would any one of us continue to face life struggles on our own when we know that Almighty God is longing to come alongside us and help us? Everything is possible for those who believe in Jesus Christ and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to leave you this morning with these words right from the middle of Psalm 18. With your help, I can advance against a trip. With my God, I can scale a wall. It is my prayer that you will know the truth of these words, individually, but also in your life together as a congregation of God's people here in Ballyhenry Presbyterian Church. Let us pray. Lord, we are weak and we are fearful, but we look to you for strength. If we venture forth alone, we stumble and fall, but with you, Lord, we can scale walls. Be our arm to support, our strength to stand, our light to see, our feet to run, our shield to protect, our sword to repel, our sun to warm. For we ask it in the name of Jesus.